This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand. I'm so excited. I've preached this message twice, and I'm so excited. I believe the third time's the charm. I'm so excited about this message. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Listen to what the Bible says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men went up with him, said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Let us pray. Jesus, I pray today that you would make the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart acceptable in your sight. I don't want to say anything that you would not want me to say. So I simply pray, God, help me to say the right stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. And for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have been preaching and will continue preaching for some time about defy the odds. I have been preaching and will continue preaching for some time about defy the odds. There was a columnist. Her name was Ann Landers. I don't know some of your youngs. Anybody remember Ann Landers? Ann Landers, most of you do. Let me tell you about Ann Landers. She was a columnist for 56 years. She was a columnist that received 12 million letters a year. 56 years, 12 million letters a year. David Brinkley asked Ann Landers, "What was the number one question you were asked?" She said, "That's easy. The number one question I was always asked was, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me?" That tells me that everybody has some odds they need to defy. And what I've tried to do is take principles and components that will help you to defy the odds. If I was speaking to young people and I had two messages to speak to young people, the first message I'd talk to them about salvation. Message number two, I wish somebody had talked to me about when I was young. I'm going to talk to you about it today. It's the power of your attitude. The power of your attitude. Thomas Jefferson said, "Nothing can stop the man or woman with the right mental attitude from achieving his or her goal. But nothing on earth can help the man or the woman with the wrong mental attitude." Because what Thomas Jefferson understood, every action, good or bad, stems from your attitude. Every action, good or bad, stems from your attitude. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. Because life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Henry Ford said it best. He said, "Whether you say I can or I can't, you're right." Stanford University researched and said, a person's attitude is more important than their IQ. To accomplish success, your attitude is more important than your IQ. So your AQ is more important than your IQ. Well, the Bible told us that a long time ago, because it says in Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh. Now, let me give you the background and I'll preach. To Canaan's land. I want you to spy out the land and come back and give me a report. The 12 men go. 10 of them come back and give a negative report. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, come back and give a positive report. See, the 10, they just saw problems in the land. But Joshua and Caleb, they saw a land that floweth with milk and honey and had big clusters of grapes. The 10 saw themselves as weak, but Joshua and Caleb saw themselves in the strong hands of God. The 10, they could only see pessimism, and they were pessimistic about the future. But Joshua and Caleb, they were optimistic about the future. The 10 prevented millions from going into the promised land. But because Joshua and Caleb stepped out on faith, they were able to one day enter into this promised land. Now I began to think about this, folks. They were all children of Israel. They were all children of God. But 10 of them were negative and 2 of them were positive. That tells me you can be children of God and still not have a good attitude. Some of the most negative people I've ever met have been in the church. That tells me that you can be a Christian and still not have the right kind of attitude. Now, what made Joshua and Caleb? What was it about them that was so unique and so special? Because I want to incorporate this into my life, and I know you do too. Number one, they decided to think positively. They decided that we're going to think positively. Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 8 tells us that. I want you to understand something. To develop a good attitude, it's not a chance. It's a choice. See, it was a great day in my life when I realized that Barbara can't make me happy. My church can't make me happy. My mama can't make me happy. My friends can't make me happy. The only person who can make me happy is myself. The only person who can make me happy is myself. It's a choice that I have to make every day of my life. Nobody can do it for you. There's things you can't delegate. You can't delegate getting a haircut. You've got to go do it yourself, amen? And you can't delegate a good attitude. It's something you got to do for yourself. I'm not into trinkets. I'm really not. I'm into think-its. So every morning when I wake up, literally, on the wall, some of you are going to want it, Hobby Lobby, $20. Every morning when I wake up, that's what I see. First thing, my feet hit the floor, and I say, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. In the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Because this is what I've learned. I can wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Or I can wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning. And I have a choice. I have a choice. Just like an old country boy, Jeb, had a choice. And every morning, Jeb's mom would knock on the door. She'd knock on Jeb's door and she'd say, Jeb, wake up. It's going to be a great day. Jeb knew what that meant. Jeb knew that meant get up, go outside, get a bucket of coal, come inside, start the fire, warm that old cold house up, So when he heard that, Jeb, get up. It's going to be a great day. He said, Mama, no, it ain't going to be a great day. It's going to be a lousy day, Mama. It's not going to be a great day. It's going to be a lousy day. I don't want to get up and go outside. It's going to be a lousy day. She said, well, Jeb, I didn't know you felt that way. You just stay right where you're at. You just stay right where you're at. Oh, Jeb pulled those covers up. He said, my goodness, why didn't I think of this years ago? Why didn't I think of this years ago? About 2 hours passed, and old Jeb got to smelling that bacon. And Jeb got to smelling that bacon and those fried potatoes and those eggs. And old Jeb jumped up, and Jeb put his clothes on, and he ran in there. And she said, what are you doing, Jeb? He said, oh, Mama, it's breakfast time. She said, no. Remember, Jeb, you said it's going to be a lousy day. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure it's a lousy day for you, Jeb. So Jeb, you go back into the bedroom. You go back into the bedroom and you shut the door. You shut the door. And you know a guy can only sleep so much. So Jeb tossed and turned, and lunch came, and dinner came, and the night came, and the next morning came. And Mom knocked on that door. And when she opened that door, Jeb was already dressed. He was sitting on the edge of the bed. He jumped up. He said, Mama, it's going to be a great day. Listen closely. They decided that we're going to think positively. Now, here's number two. Get this. They drowned out negativity. They drowned out negativity. I never researched that till this week. Look what Numbers 13 verse 30 says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Look, they're talking. The 10 are saying, they're giants over there. They're giants over there. There's no way we can take them. Look what Caleb said. It says he stilled the people, and I researched it, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what it means. In the original translation, he hushed the people. He said, hush. No. Quit talking that negativity. Hush. No. Just be quiet. Maybe he said, shut up. Can I ask you something? Who do you need to hush? Oh, I will. Who do you need to hush? You know, some of you need to hush CNN. Yeah, some of you need to hush Fox News. Because you watch a little bit of it and you want to run and get in a bunker, amen? The world's coming to an end. Hush up. Hush up. Hush up. Some of us have people in our lives that we need to say, no, hush up. I just don't want to hear the negativity. I know you don't like how everything is at church right now, but just hush up. Just hush up. Who do you need to say hush up to? Oh, and I started realizing this is woven throughout the scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 1, see, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said, Jeremiah, before I formed you, I ordained you. See, we many times preach this, folks. We many times preach that when we were born, God had a plan for our life. That's not true. God had a plan for your life, and that's why you were born. The greatest days of your life is when you got born, when you got born again, and when you realized why you were born. When you realized, I was born for this. I was born for this. Somebody said, Brother Benny, when you preach, you seem like you enjoy it. Oh, honey, I do. Because this is what I was born for. This is what I was born for. You say, how do you know that? Because I can't do anything else. This is what I was born for. He said, Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet unto the nations. Now get this. Oh, goodness gracious. Get this. Verse 6. Then said I, Lord God. Jeremiah said, I can't do it. I'm just a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not. What did he say? Hush. Hush. Many of us need to say hush to ourselves. We need to say hush to ourselves. The enemy will tell us we can't, but God says you can do all things through Jesus Christ. We need to say, no, 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 enemy, just hush. The enemy will say you're not smart enough, but James 1 and 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The enemy will say, you're not gifted. But 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, every man or woman hath received the gift. The enemy will say, fear's coming at you. Fear's coming to get you. But the Bible says in Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The enemy will say, you've just wasted your life. But God said in the book of Joel, he would restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I'll tell you what Joshua and Caleb did. They decided to think positive. They drowned out negativity. But look, they determined to believe God. They determined to believe God. See, in Genesis 15 and 18, God had promised the land to Abraham. They knew the land was theirs. Because God had already promised it. That's why Caleb said, give me Hebron. Because that's where Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac were buried. He said, give me the part where Abraham's buried. Because God promised the land to Abraham and Abraham's descendants. So we don't have to be fearful because God's promised it. Every day of my life when I get up, folks, I tell myself three things. Number one, I tell myself, God is good. God is good. Every day of my life, my God is good. I tell myself Psalms 107 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. So every day when I get up, I just tell myself, God, you're so good. You're so good. And then I tell myself, God is for me. I spent a big part of my life thinking God was out to get me. God's not out to get you. God is for you. For this I know, God is for me. And I tell myself that God is working all things for my good. God is good. God is for me. God is working all things for my good. That's all I'm going to say. 10 came back and they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Those giants didn't tell them that. They told themselves that. Those giants didn't tell them that. They told themselves that. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 2, you'll eat the fruit of your words. You'll eat the fruit of your words. What you eat is what you will become. You will eat the fruit of your words. The words that you tell yourself, ladies and gentlemen, is what you will become, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. I want you to know God spoke this world into existence. Words created this world, and words will create the world that you live in. An elderly lady was driving down the road. Deputy sheriff pulled her over. He said, ma'am, you were going a 70 and a 40. I need your license. She said, I don't have any. I've gotten so many DUIs. He said, well, I need to see the car registration. She said, I don't have any registration. I stole this car. She said, I stole this car. She said, I stole it from a man. I actually shot him. He's in the trunk right now. The officer said, get out. Put your hands up on the car. Put your hands on the car. He called the sheriff, said, come as fast as you can. I've got a serious situation. The sheriff gets there. They walk back to the trunk, open the trunk up. It's completely empty. The sheriff looks at the deputy. He walks over to the woman and he says, I need to see your license. She said, certainly, and pulls them out and gives them to him. He said, ma'am, do you have registration on this car? She said, well, I most certainly do. It's right here in the glove compartment, Sheriff. Let me get it and hand it to you. He looks at the deputy and he said, you said that there was a body in the trunk. You said that she had no license. You said that there was no car registration. And she said, and Sheriff, I bet he told you I was doing 70 in a 42. Words are powerful. Number four, I've got to move. They developed positive relationships. Now, when I was researching this story, I noticed something. In Numbers 14 and 6, in Numbers 14 and 30, in Joshua 14 and 6, and in Joshua 14 and 13, it just mentions Joshua and Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. Never mentions Joshua in the other 10. It never mentions Caleb in the other 10. Here's what I want you to know something. Relationships are so important because relationships either pick you up or pull you down. See, you're the sum average of the five people that you spend the most time with. I'm not going to count long, but winners hang around with winners and losers hang around with losers. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, he that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fool shall be destroyed. They develop positive relationships. There's people you need to get away from. Number five. Not real good in math. I always felt like if you were right 90% of the time, who cares about the other 5%? Number five, they drew strength and stretch from the battle. They drew strength and stretch from the battle. Look what Numbers 14 and 9 says. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Look what Joshua and Caleb said. Get this, folks. For they are bread for us. Goodness gracious. They are bread for us. You know what I know about bread? You'll get nourishment from bread. You'll get strength from bread. They said, no, we're in the battle. But if we'll just keep the right attitude, God will strengthen us. Let me tell you something, folks. God will teach you more in the battles. God will teach you more in the hard times. God will teach you more in the difficult times than he ever will in the good times. You'll know God on a different level in the battles. You'll know God in a different level in the valley. That you will never know him in the mountain time. It's in the valley, the scripture says, that he restoreth my soul. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, not only out of life, but out of scripture. Look what it says. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, and by the way, if your faith can't be tested, it can't be trusted. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I want you to know, if you'll let the battles of life, they'll strengthen you. God will teach you and build character in your life that will never happen in the good times of life. You'll know God on a different level. You'll know God on a different level if you will allow him, if you will allow him to get to know you. You'll get to know him on a different, deeper, much deeper level when you go through the hard times of life. It will strengthen you. But I'll tell you something else. It will not only strengthen you, it will stretch you. It will stretch you. What are you talking about? This is what I know. Bread is high in carbohydrates. Bread is high in calories. Bread is low in protein. Because here's what bread will do. Bread will spread you. Let me tell you something. I've learned that bread will stretch you. And I've learned the difficulties of life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will allow it, it will stretch you. It'll give you a bigger platform. It'll give you a deeper level of intimacy. It will give you a deeper level of ministry. It will give you influence. It will give you impact that you've never had before. It'll give you influence. It'll give you ministry that you've never had before. It'll give you an opportunity to help like you've never had before if you would just allow it to. If you would just allow it to. I want to come back to this. But I know there's melancholics that are listening to me. And if I don't fill in the last blank, they won't enjoy the message. They daily focused on their attitudes. But getting back to the last point, and I'm finishing up, of how bread will expand you. Let me tell you a story. It was about three Hebrew children by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew children. And this King Nebuchadnezzar had this golden image. And he said, everybody's got to bow down to the golden image. And these three Hebrew boys said, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to bow down. And this is not the message, but folks, I think in America, we're just bowing down too much. I just think we're just bowing down. You don't need to be having church. You don't need to be doing this. We're going to mandate this and we're going to mandate that. I want to go on record as saying your freedom and your freedom and your freedom and your freedom and your freedom. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from God. Those boys said, I tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to bow down. Then they looked at that king and they said, King, let's talk. Nebuchadnezzar, let's talk. The God we serve, he's able to deliver us. God's able to do anything, ladies and gentlemen. Now he chooses what he's going to do. He's sovereign. We're not. But I want you to know God's able to do anything. He's able to do anything. He's able to do anything. They said our God's able. But even if he don't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. You know what they said? God, my wife's left me. And I want him to send her back. But if he sends her back, or if he don't send her back, I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to honor and glorify you. God, I want the job. I want the job so bad. But if you give me the job or you don't give me the job, I'm still going to praise you. God, my medical report's not good. And God, I'm asking you to touch me. But God, if you touch me or if you don't touch me, I'm still not going to bow down. I'm going to praise you for who you are and what you've done. God, we want to have a baby. We want to have a baby. But God, if you give us a baby, we're going to praise you. But I tell you what, God, if you don't give us a baby, we're still going to praise you. We made up our mind, no matter what, we're going to praise you. King, either way, put them in the fire. Put them in the fire. heat is 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. 7 times hotter. Now get this. Why didn't God deliver them out of the fire? Because many times he can teach us more. And many times he can get more glory by us being in the fire. He could have delivered them out of the fire. But many times God wants to teach us. God wants to get more glory. And it means putting us in the fire. You know the story. I'm trying to quit. You know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fire 7 times hotter. They come out of the fire. Don't even smell like smoke. Well, you can't even go in the Waffle House and that happen. Amen? Don't even smell like smoke. And that old king says, old Nebi looks down in there, and Nebi said, didn't I cast 3 men into the fire? I see a 4th man. I see a 4th man, and he's likening to the Son of God. I would have liked to have had a conversation with Nebi. I would have said, Nebi, he's not likened to the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Because when you get in the fire, he's in the fire with you. He doesn't abandon us. Now, I've studied that scripture inside and out, and I have never read where the 3 Hebrew children saw the 4th man. I've never read where the 3 Hebrew children saw the 4th man. But it took 3 Hebrew children being in the fire, walking through hell, for an old pagan king to see the 4th man, for an old pagan king. You know what I believe? I believe God many times, folks, puts us in the fire. He puts us in the fire. We're walking through the fire. And all God's saying, you just keep walking. You just keep your eyes upon me, because I'm going to show people the 4th man if you'll keep the right attitude. Because what I'm doing, I'm sorry, folks, for getting so excited, but what I'm doing, I'm strengthening you and I'm stretching you, and your impact's getting bigger. Just keep walking. Hey, can we stand our feet and give God praise? We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, the 4th man in the fire. You say, I'm not so convinced that what he preached about is that important. I'm convinced it's of utmost importance. And let me explain why. 10 guys who had stinking thinking and had a negative attitude caused millions of people to spend 40 more years in the wilderness. It would have just taken 11 days to get out of that journey, but they spent 40 years circling 285 because 10 negative men, 10 negative men didn't believe God for big things. They didn't believe that God was more than enough God. They didn't believe that he was Jehovah Jireh. They didn't believe he was Jehovah Ra. They didn't believe he was the master of the mighty. They didn't believe he was the captain of conquerors. They didn't believe he was the head of heroes. They didn't believe he was the leader of legislators. They didn't believe he's the overseer of overcomers. They didn't believe he was the governor of governors. They didn't believe he was the prince of princes. They didn't believe, ladies and gentlemen, he's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. There's nobody like him.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, Be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.